Right. Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to see you this afternoon. I think the last time, well, I know the last time I was here was just before COVID. It's been the world has been dominated ever since. I think January 2020 was the last time I was here in person. I think I was online. And I was here. I prepared for today, and when I finishing up my preparation, I'm thinking to myself, I think I spoke on this maybe last time I was here. Thankfully, we just have the website. I went back and similar book, but not the same. You'll be glad to know, if you even remember, you maybe not remember that far back, all those messages you'll have heard since then. But anyway, I wouldn't want to come give you the same thing twice. If you don't know me, my name's Mark. Came to this church just as Lindsay prayed for those young kids next door and down the stairs. Came to this church all my childhood from about 10 or 11. Became a Christian here, met the Lord here, baptized here, married here. A big chunk of my life was in this place. It is a spiritual home for me, so as I always say, it's a privilege to come here and to share God's word with you this afternoon. That being said, I do like to keep things simple. I'm a simple guy. I like a simple message, a simple lesson from God. If you want the complicated stuff, we'll maybe get Steve up later. He's quite good at the complicated stuff from what I remember. He had to answer a lot of my questions when I was here, which sometimes were silly, but sometimes were very complicated. And he always said it in a way that I either got the answer or I was hoping he'd stop soon. Anyway, 2 Kings chapter 5 is where we're going to be reading from today. I'll be reading from the NIV, which is up behind me. So we'll start that. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 19. Now Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now, bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's house. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking him the 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent this message: "Why have you torn your robes? Make the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and his chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are you not Abana or Pharpar?" This is why I normally get someone to do these readings for me. "Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel. Couldn't I go and wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, My father, if the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you have not done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored, and he became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant. The prophet answered, As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing. And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. If you will not, said Naaman, please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry. For your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other God but the Lord. But may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon to bow down, he is leaning on my arm. I have to bow down there also. When I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this. Go in peace, Elisha said, after Naaman had travelled some distance. I think there's a wee bit extra to go there. Oh, no, that's us. Good. I just finished it at a strange place. That's okay. So, pretty simple story from the Old Testament, and I think it gives us a great picture of God and how God works and how we work in our minds, how we can be. We start off with Naaman, who is a very important guy. You know, he's actually doing well in life when you look at it. He's a commander in an army. He's quite high up. He's quite respectable. You know, some folk see someone like that in their life, or they bump into someone like that and they say, oh, what do you do? And they go, oh, well, I do this, I do that, I do this, and I'm great and everything's good. And you go, wow, that's amazing. I wish I could be successful and good and great at that. He was the general of the Syrian army, but he did have a problem. He had leprosy, which back then was a big problem. We hear about leprosy quite a lot in the Bible. It never has really good consequences if you get leprosy back then. So that's the start of this part of the Bible that we're looking at. Now, you would have noticed in the first 7 verses, it talks about a girl, a young girl, who had been taken from, she was an Israelite, she had been taken into Syria, and she served in Naaman's household. Now, that's a very small part of that chunk that I just read, but it is really important. Why is it important? Well, it's important because it shows you that God's plans can be made in the everyday of life. That isn't really our everyday, because if I said to you, you were going to go home and someone was going to come into your home, take you and take you away to another land, and you would not see your family again, well, that isn't every day. But you get what I mean. This girl, she wasn't special the way that Naaman was special. He was a man of regard. He had an important role in life. People would look up to him and see him for that and think, wow, he is great. He is great. This young girl, she was just a slave. Probably a girl at that time in the Old Testament, slave, probably couldn't get much lower for a human being, if we're being honest, in that time. But what amazes me about this girl, who we don't even know her name, what amazes me is she still trusts in God. No matter all that life has thrown at her, we don't know much about it, but when people are taken to be slaves, then their family may have been taken as slaves. Her family could have been killed before her. These were raiding parties that took people away in these times. It wasn't a good time to live, certainly, at that point where you could be taken away without much reproach. a bit, you know, we still have places like that today, but not in the UK, not in Scotland. So she was faithful in her tragedy to God, and that really amazes me, that someone can be that faithful to God in her tragedy. Now, as I said, I grew up here, I learned the Bible here, standing here, a lot on what I was taught when I was younger. I hope I've developed along the way as well, sure. But I would have been that Sunday school wee guy in there, and they would say, look at this girl. She was faithful. Even when it looked like God had abandoned her, she was faithful. Would you be faithful? My hand would go right up, because children's hands always go right up, don't they? Yes, I would do it. God told me, and I would do it. Now, I would like to think that that would be my attitude now, still. But as we get older and become a wee bit more, we get a wee bit more invested in this life, we have things that we like, we have people that we love, we have family, our own family, we have all these things that we take on. And I think to myself, if that happened to me now, it would be harder than, you know, back then. You know, would I put my hand straight up and go, yes, I would be faithful to God. And we see that in the New Testament. Jesus never wants little children to be away from him, because their faith is true. It's pure. They can believe. So that's the first part of what I wanted to say to you today, that God's plans can be accomplished by ordinary people. You might think that you are not like a Naaman per se, or someone who is important. You may not have influence. You may have influence. That's good. I don't have much influence. But we may not reach lots of people. Maybe we do. You never know with the internet. But we certainly don't feel like, you know, we're not prime minister, thankfully. We're not first minister. We're not in a place of influence. We do have influence on people with us, but we can make a big difference. We can make a big difference by standing on what God has taught us in his word, and by having that relationship with him. It says, and the girls will put it up, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26 says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were influential. Not many were of noble birth. I wasn't of noble birth. I came down in a Sunday school bus. My mum and dad didn't come here. I came just down in a Sunday school bus, went in through there, caused a riot the first few years I came. I strongly believe some of my Sunday school teachers started to lose hair after teaching me for a couple of years here. I wasn't anything special. I was just a boy who came to a church because his pals came to this church. We got a good cup of tea or a drink of juice, good biscuits, up there, in here, singing, up there, causing chaos. And then eventually God spoke to me through that. And that is just life. That is allowing God to change your life. Now, the king in Israel, well, we see in the second part of this, the king in Israel was distraught. He's going, this guy is trying to pick a fight with me. How can I heal this? He sent this guy to me so he could pick a fight with me, so that he can just overtake me or attack me and say, you never done what I asked, even though you should be able to do it. He's frightened. It takes Elisha to send for Naaman. And this is what I like about this story, is Naaman's response when he goes to see Elisha. It is the typical response of people today, right? Okay, I can help you. Okay, good. Help me. Right, this is what I'm going to do, and then you need to do that. Wait. I want you just to help me. I just want you to do it for me. I don't want to do something. And then he goes, and even the thing you're asking me to do, it's stupid. It's stupid. There's better rivers in Syria. Okay, I couldn't pronounce them earlier. Apologies for that. But there were better rivers, cleaner water up there than there is here. Why am I going there? I'm not doing that. And what does he do? He does like the millennial thing to do. He takes a huff and off he goes in a bad mood. Have you ever went off in a bad mood? I don't know whether it's because I'm so reminiscent, but I seem to remember going off in a bad mood sometimes in here, speaking to Lindsay, going off in a bad mood, you know. And other people, not just Lindsay, but, you know, he's here, so I'll tell him. Anyway, I diverse. Do you ever go off in a bad mood where you just know that you've just taken a huff just because you're a wee bit offended because you've not been given your place, you know? Our faith, it has to be humble. It has to be obedient to what God is calling us to do. Even if we think it's stupid. Naaman, he had leprosy. Leprosy, often in the Bible, is seen as a picture of sin. Leprosy was a disease that you got, and if you got it in your hand, or your arm, or your leg, or whatever, once you had it, you had it, and it was going to spread, and you were going to die. That's what leprosy was back then. Thankfully, we can deal with it now because of the medicines that we have. But back then, leprosy, you could hide it for a while, like Naaman was just now. Must have been in its early stages. But it was basically a death sentence. Everything he had come and accomplished in this world, he knew his time was limited. It's a bit like us. We know that death is coming for us. It's the one thing, once you're born, you're guaranteed to get, that death will come for us. It's not a great thought, doesn't excite us, doesn't make us happy, but it's the one thing that we can say we're guaranteed. We're not guaranteed to be happy. We're not guaranteed to be sad all the time. We're not guaranteed a fancy house and a big car and all this stuff. It's great if you go and get that, but we are guaranteed is that we will meet our maker. And when he's given an option out, he goes. And what does he do? He reacts. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to that river. It's dirty, but his pals or his servants, the people who were with him said, listen, we've come all this way. You know, if they'd asked you to run over glass 10 times, you would have thought, oh, maybe that would be a good thing to do. He wasn't happy because Elisha never spoke to him directly in the first place. He was important. So that was his first mistake. He got offended at that. Then he wasn't impressed with what he was to do to be healed because it just seemed a bit stupid and a bit easy. Okay? But his servant said, we've come all this way. It was on the way home. Let's just do it. And he done it. And he was healed. And that was good. And he was astounded by it. It was God's way. Elisha had told him what God had told him to do. This was God's work in him. And he went back and he was very respectful then because the leprosy had been taken away. He had no choice. He was amazed. He couldn't believe what had happened from such a simple thing, washing in a river 7 times. There was plenty of Israel's died of leprosy, by the way. God had chosen this to teach a lesson. There was plenty of people that never dipped in a river 7 times and died of leprosy. This is in the Bible for a reason. He's a foreigner. There were other people. But he was well respected and known. And this was an amazing thing. What does that all mean for us today as I wind up? What does that all mean for us today? How do we react to this? Well, the girls will put up in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which